6 unconventional email marketing tips that can multiply your result. So the big question is, how are entrepreneurs like us who have too much to do and too little time able to build both the business and the life of our dreams? That's the question. And on this podcast, we'll explore the journey to the answer. My name is Brett Ingram, entrepreneur and award-winning product creator. I chose to build a business and have a time for a personal life, and I want to help you do the same. Welcome to Optimize. Email marketing is a great way to be able to market to your audience, market to your list, market to your prospects and customers in a way that you can do it over and over again at a very low cost in comparison to other marketing methods. And despite the fact that email may be considered old school by some, the fact of the matter is it flat out works. And so we want to always be using email marketing in whatever we're doing. Now, there's a couple of different ways that we can actually use it, because from an email marketing perspective, we can always be sending out emails about our own products. So if we have a product line or if we have a store or whatever, and there's something that a product or a service that we want to promote of our own, obviously it's very easy to be able to send out emails to our list of prospects and our list of customers with offers about our own products. And that's one way to do it. But the way that we can really expand out our profit and the way that we can really get to a point where we can generate a lot more, because let's face it, no matter how much we want to promote our own stuff, if we're sending out emails every single day and it's about the same product and service over and over again, chances are some people are going to get annoyed by that and they're actually going to unsubscribe. They might be interested in what we have to offer, and we might want to keep offering it, but we might not want to be able to email on it every single day. So what ends up happening is if you're a product owner and you're sending out emails every day, you start feeling like, I can only pitch once in a while, so I've got to be able to send out this email today with a pitch, and then tomorrow just pure content, and then maybe a couple more days I'll send out a sale one, or I'll only mail my list once a week because I don't want them to be annoyed by the number of times. By adding affiliate products to the mix, we diversify what we can offer. And so it's great because we don't have any customer support, any sales fulfillment. We don't have anything else on affiliate products. We just promote it through an affiliate link and we get paid a commission percentage based on that. The other vendor, whoever owns the product, does all the rest of the work. And so it's great to be able to promote affiliate products that our audience would want and benefit from, because we know what that is based on what they want from us, right? So whatever we're selling, if we can find complementary products, complementary offers, and we can mail on, that's a win. For the most part, my business does software products, digital marketing, software products, that kind of stuff. And so I find other affiliate products that are also along the same lines, and I mail those out as affiliate offers to my list on a daily basis, because I know that if they want the stuff that I offer, they're going to want what other people have too. And if they're complementary products, it's perfect. Then I don't have to create each of those products myself, but I can still benefit. At the same time, I'm also not bombarding my list with the same offer for the same product every single day. I can't create a new product every day, so I got to have something else to be able to send out. So we can promote our own products, we can promote affiliate products. And if you generally look up advice about email marketing, it tends to be, for lack of a better term, very corporate. A lot of the advice I've seen when I've looked up email marketing advice tends to be the same ideas, and they're said by the same people over and over again. And they tend to be these very sort of conventional marketing methods with email marketing. And I have to tell you that in my industry and in my experience with my own email marketing, a lot of the conventional stuff actually doesn't work as well as it's claimed to work. And in contrast to that, I've actually tried some things that are generally considered to be not smart or not effective and found that they work far better than what the traditional thing is. And so it's very interesting in that way, because what it shows is that it's super important to be able to know that your own list, your own business, your own brand, your own voice is all unique. And so you need to find what works with your own list and your own prospects. So I want to share 6 unconventional email marketing tips that I use and that I get great results with. And I think that this will illustrate the fact that I test and I try stuff, and I can tell you that these flat out work. Now, for you, your experience may be slightly different, but the point is they're worth trying. And the point is it should expand your mind into thinking about other ways that you can test things to optimize your own email marketing. So the very first tip is shock of all shocks, use plain text emails. Everybody advises get a beautiful like newsletter style with graphics and, you know, all this other stuff and make it look really pretty and put a header graphic on there. The stats show, at least in my experience, that ultimately what happens when we use a lot of graphics in our emails is a lot of them get blocked. A lot of the, you've probably seen emails in your own inbox where you get it and it looks like garbage because the text shows and there's all these broken images on the page that are blocked for security reasons by your email provider. So if that's the email you're sending out, first of all, you're lucky if people even receive it. But second of all, it's probably going to look broken anyway, so it doesn't look as beautiful as you thought it was going to when you sent it out. It's not right or wrong. You may want to use a visual version or one that has graphics in it, newsletter style. You may want to experiment. And if you have a particular aesthetic with your brand, it's worth trying. But for me, plain text emails actually work the best. I get the highest open rates, the highest click rates, and they flat out work. When I've tried other emails, when I've tried visual ones and things like that, my click rates are way lower. If I embed a button on the page, my click rates are lower. When I use a standard link that's hyperlinked in blue with a link on it, people click it, it works. So again, it might be specific to my audience, but I use plain text emails, very simple. It's also the easiest type to create because you can literally type them up in a few minutes and you don't need to hassle with all the formatting and everything else for some beautiful email only to find out that it's not going to get read. One of the main reasons that plain text emails really work is the fact that a lot of internet email clients, inbox clients that people are using block images because they're worried about security issues and viruses and malware. So they don't let that stuff through to begin with. But the other reason they work really well is because they're readable in all the formats. So whether someone's using a mobile phone or whether someone's using a desktop app or whatever else, they can read a plain text email. If there's HTML in it, if there's images, things like that, sometimes those don't show up the right way. So they can't even see the buy button or whatever else. And so it's super important to at least test using plain text emails versus using the fancy, pretty looking ones, because even though it's simple, even though it's easier, it actually flat out works. And for me, it works better. The second tip that's unconventional, but super effective for me, is to use selective capitals in subject lines. Now, in subject lines, what people will tell you is that, oh, don't use any like spammy words and don't use capitals because it immediately flags the ISPs and they'll put your email in junk if you use any capital letters or symbols or a dollar sign or anything that's in regarding money or anything that sounds free or easy. My experience is actually doesn't align with that. I'm not suggesting that if you overload it, it won't get blocked. I'm sure it will, and I'm sure some percentage has gotten blocked. But the fact of the matter is, for me, when I use selective capitals, and what I mean by that is, let's say that I'm sending out an email saying, the best email marketing tool in the world. Let's say that's my subject. What I would do is, because I know that the product is about email marketing, and I know that I want people that are interested in email marketing to see it, I would capitalize the word email. All caps, E-M-A-I-L, all capital. The best email marketing tool in the world or whatever. So there's only one capital word. I'm not using four and five and six or all capitals for everything. But capitalizing one full word in a subject line can be super effective. It helps it stand out. What I've found is whatever I'm losing from spam like traps that are getting caught in there or whatever, ISPs blocking it, I'm gaining more by the fact that it's catching people's attention. So I use selective capitals in subject lines. I don't tend to use dollar signs or anything like that, but I don't also use the broken English that some people use. If they use the word dollar, they'll put like a zero for the O. I don't use any of that nonsense. I write out the actual, or they put a period in the word. If they use the word money, it'll be like M-O-dot-N-E-Y. I don't ever do that kind of stuff. I've actually found that if you have typos, that's actually considered a typo. And that will get screened out and put in spam faster than just the word money in an email. Now, if every other word in the email is money, and it, or you have that five times in your subject line, it'll get blocked for spam. But if you're using it selectively and occasionally, shouldn't be a big deal. And all capitals in one word in a headline seems to really work on the subject in terms of sending out emails, getting them open, getting them inboxed, and getting them clicked. The third unconventional tip is to use a short email body. Okay, this is interesting. I've promoted products where there's a list of bullets of all the things that the product will do. And so I've written out the start of an email and I lead into why they would need this product. The benefits, if you're struggling to do this or you want to get more of that, hey, you could do it the hard way, or there's this better solution. And when I list the solution and then I put, so they can get all the information they need in the email to get the click, know that they want to click, what basically I would do is I'd put in bullets for all the bullets for the product or whatever else, or sometimes two or three paragraphs worth of information about the product. What I've found is time and time again, the shorter my email, the more curiosity generating it is, and the less information it overall gives, the higher my click rate it gets. So when I list all the information about a product, even if it's a great product, because you could say, yeah, maybe it's because people don't want the product. Even when the product is great, and even when the product sells really well, if I tell a lot about it in the email, my click rate goes way down. When I put just one or two or three bullets and maybe a short description, and it's more curiosity oriented, but very short email, as in, I don't do more than a couple of sentences at a pop. I don't write in full paragraphs. And I don't do more than maybe 20, maybe 30 lines of like line heights for an entire email. No more than like 30 lines maximum. Most of my emails are 10 to 15 lines long. That's it. 20, maybe. The short email body tends to get people to see it, gets to click it. And I think the real reason for that is because, first of all, you have to scroll to see the link. And by the way, this is true even with two links in it. So even when I put a link at the top, then a ton of information, and then another link at the bottom, it still does not work as well as a short email body with one link at the bottom. And so the thing of it is, I think the reason for it is that, first off, in a mobile device, when they open an email, they can see the whole email right there because there's a smaller amount of text you can read at one time. So instead of scrolling for 3 days to get to the bottom, they can see the link essentially right there. They might read a little bit, get some curiosity, they click the link. So they might or might not buy, but at least they're going to go click the link and see what I'm offering. In a desktop client, they see it and it generates enough curiosity that they want more details. Look, the general idea is, it's important to remember this in email marketing. The subject line has one purpose, to get people to open and read the email. That's it. It's not to sell anything, it's not to get anybody to do anything. It's to get them to open and read the email. The body has one job. It's to get them to click the link. That's it. We don't need it to do anything else. It doesn't need to tell them all about the product, it doesn't need to tell them all about the offer. It needs to get them to click the link. The link that brings them to a web page is where the selling needs to get done. If the offer is well constructed and the sales page is high converting and you get people to the sales page, you will make sales. If the best emails in the world can only get people to a sales page, then it needs to do the heavy lifting. So when I try to pre-sell too much in the email, I find my results go down in terms of clicks and in terms of conversions and sales. So I go with a short email body and I do one link that's just hyperlinked text. The fourth unconventional tip is the good old clear and obvious pitch. I've seen time and time again about these ideas about when you have an email marketing list, you want to warm them up with lots of content and just overload them with great content. And when you're making a pitch, give them a lot of value. And then after you give a little bit of value, hint around at there might be an easier, faster way if maybe you're maybe interested, then you could think about possibly clicking here. Every time I've tried that, my click rates go way down. And by the way, I did an experiment where I did with a brand new list of people that knew me that signed up for my stuff that actually were buyers. I sent them the first 15 days was just a getting to know me sequence, zero links, but they were to free stuff, zero pitches, zero anything to buy. And I did that for 20 days with the idea that by then I've established a really good relationship. I've shown them, I'm giving them great quality. Then I can start to pitch them. And you know what happened? Not only obviously did I make zero sales over those 20 days, the open rates were okay. The click rates on the freebies were okay. So that was all fine. When I started to actually make pitches, I got angry replies. People were angry that I would actually pitch them products because I was giving them all this free stuff and I was being just building a relationship. So then I had the audacity to pitch them on something and I had more unsubscribes and spam complaints from that than when I just start off pitching from day one. So the clear and obvious pitch flat out works. I don't make any bones about it. In the headline, I talk about what the benefit is to them. In the body, I put bullet points about a product and I tell them what benefit they're going to get. And I put the link. I don't make any bones about the fact that it's a pitch to a product that they could buy. I don't push them. It's not a hard sell. They can click it or not click it, buy it or not buy it. But I'm offering them a product I think can help them that I want them to buy. And when I've done the clear and obvious pitch, it's outperformed every other kind of email I've ever done by a long shot. Every time I've done clear and obvious pitch, I get clicks, I get sales. When I try to make it long-winded, or I try to make it backdoor-y, where I give a lot of content and then I sneak in a link at the bottom and say, if you want more information, for me and my list, it doesn't work. The fifth tip is to mail every day or maybe even more. One of the things as a new email marketer, people worry about is I don't want to annoy my list. If I mail them every day, they're going to get mad and unsubscribe. I should probably only mail them once a week. But we have to understand from our recipient's standpoint, they're getting an inbox flooded of stuff every single day. So if we send out one email a week, I don't care how much they love us, they're much more likely to forget us. Look, McDonald's runs ads on TV every single day. Do you think anybody in America, at least, doesn't know what a McDonald's is or be aware that it exists? Of course, but they run ads every day because they need to stay right in front of us to keep in front of our mind so we go and buy their product. Email marketing is the same thing. And this needs to be tested and tweaked. You may have a list, depending on your market, that you only want to mail every other day or something like that. But in general, as a general rule, you want to mail your list every single day. And in some cases, I know some people in some niches that mail their list 3 or 4 times a day. Different emails, it's not the same email all 4 times, but literally 3 to 4 times a day. You'll get a small percentage of unsubscribes, but you're going to get that anyway. If you wait 2 weeks and then you send out an email, what's going to happen is people are going to have forgotten you. You're going to have people marking it as spam and unsubscribing at a higher rate because they don't remember you than if you mail them every single day. So mail every day, test mailing even more, and monitor unsubscribes, monitor spam complaints, and if it goes up, scale it back. Until it goes up, get more and more aggressive. Once you find that sweet spot, that's where you live, that's where you stay. And the sixth unconventional email marketing tactic that flat out works is to reuse winning emails. Look, the great thing about email marketing is statistics are right there for us. They're all tracked for us. We can see what our open rates, click rates, spam rates, bounce rates, all that stuff is. So over time, after we've been mailing for a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, we have a whole track record of every email we've ever sent, what percentage opens we got, what percentage clicks we got. And even if we don't track conversions directly through email, we can trace it back and see how many sales we made from it too. So the fact is, go back to the emails you had that worked. You reuse them. Same email subject, same email body. You can repurpose the offer. If there's a different offer that you want to connect to it, that's fine. It doesn't always have to be the same offer you're pitching, but reuse the same emails, reuse the same subject line, reuse the same body. You could also repurpose them slightly by changing a few words here and there, changing the body here and there, and testing that against the other one to see what's better. But keep build up a database of your winning emails and keep reusing them. Every month at the longest interval, you may be able to reuse them even as often as every week, but certainly every month. And certainly every couple of weeks to a month, you want to be reusing your best converting emails, and it flat out works. You'll get really good opens, really good clicks. If those things start to trail off and go down, you're reusing it too often. So look, all of these tactics are unconventional. They defy what wisdom you'll see when you look online, and they may or may not work for you and your list and your market. It depends. The only way to know, though, is to test. They flat out do work for me, and I flat out tested them against the conventional stuff, and these ways work better for me. But the important point, regardless, is to try stuff. Think outside the box and test instead of just blindly following the typical advice. The takeaway here is that email marketing can be a significant income source that's simple, dependable, and continuous, with sales and commissions coming in every single day. Like any other marketing method, we get out what we put in. It's important to take the time to test things, monitor our results, and adapt our approach. Sometimes unconventional or weird things work. So it's important to experiment, track results, and adapt to find what works best for your business and your list so we can optimize for maximum results. Be sure to subscribe so you get every episode and share it with a friend. And until next time, remember, no matter what you want for your business and your life, don't compromise, optimize.